We're going to look at Vision Destiny 2020, continuing the series where I'm sharing my journals for 2019 about what God did, what God said, what happened, so we can really look forward and see where we're going from here. Some of the major themes: the restoration of all things, the oracles of the Father's heart, love's light, us arising and shining with the light of love, happy eschatology, Joshua generation arising in sonship, and living from a state of rest. Now, there are quite often some controversial issues that God speaks to me about. They're quite sensitive, but I need to share them as he shared them with me. Son, prepare for difficult questions relating to restoration, but do not be intimidated by those who have been conditioned by evangelicalism. Deconstruction is vital if my children, who are bound, are to be set free from the doctrines that separate and divide. Now, I know there are a lot of divisive issues going on right now, and God was talking to me about it. I come to unite my children into one family, one body, who have my heart and mind. They are to reveal their Father, to restore all back to myself. All doctrines that divide are all flawed, because we are one, and we have created all things to be one as a reflection of who we are. Unity, coming together in unison of one heart and one mind, one purpose, is so key in what God is wanting us to express. Unfortunately, we have a situation where so many theological and doctrinal positions divide and separate and create denominational streams. Division is the antithesis of our nature. So there is no division on the basis of color, race, religion, doctrine, theology, sexuality, nations, dimensions, locations, ethnicity, gender, social status, money, or any other thing that the DIY tree path has created that is acceptable to us. All strife and enmity is an expression of lost identity and brokenness. The worst division is the doctrine that causes strife and enmity. Particularly bad is that which separates people on the basis of their views of Israel. Now, this is quite prevalent at the moment in the UK, when one of our national governmental parties has been accused of being anti-Semitic, most of all because they just support Palestine in some senses. Son, I've always had a people who would be an expression of relationship and family on the earth, but they've all failed because of division and separation. Exclusion through color, race, and religion. How can anything made in our image be divided when we are one? My people on earth were always those of faith who had a personal relationship with us. It was never based on nationality. Israel, as my people, were to be the light to the Gentiles, not exclude them based on race or ethnicity. The church has not replaced Israel, but is a continuation of those who were truly Israel. It never included those of their father, the accuser. Not all Israel were actually Israel, only those in relationship with us, not those who were merely adherents to a law-based system of dead works. It was always relationship where righteousness was by faith. Romans 9:5. For they're not all Israel who are descended from Israel, nor are they all children because they're Abraham's descendants. But through Isaac your descendants will be named. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. Now, this is really important to grasp, because we need to see our place within the promises of God, and where do we, as what we call the church, God's body on earth, how do we fit within the promises of God? Are those promises fulfilled? Are they yet to be fulfilled? Are they for us? Are they not for us? It's a really important issue, and I do believe a lot of understanding about Israel as a nation, and also Israel as a race, and Israel and Jewishness as a religion, are all mixed together and is a very confusing picture, and it creates a lot of emotive issues of being accused to be anti-Semitism and all of that stuff if you say anything that challenges the common use of that view of Israel being the people of God. There is no basis for dividing and separating our people into denominations who have, by very definition of the name, made a name for themselves to become a sept- to become separate on the basis of doctrinal beliefs. God does not support denominationalism. Does he love people who are within denominations? Absolutely. Does he like the institutions that they're in? Not particularly. Son, we do not recognize any divisions based on doctrines or beliefs or on nationality. We recognize no messianic Christians, African American, British, European, or Asian. We see one family. The DIY tree inspired division that formed brethrenism, dispensationalism, premillennialism, and rapture. Separation also inspired the separation of an earthly people, Israel, and a heavenly people, the church, creating Zionism. The DIY tree doctrine has promoted nationalism, and Zionism must be challenged and deconstructed if there is to be unity within my family. My sons are responsible for creation now in this age and for all ages to come. The DIY tree needs to be challenged. It is by your love for one another and oneness that all would see the results of true relationship, and this has been twisted and perverted in what it is today. The oracles of our heart cannot allow this situation to continue, as we are passionate with a burning desire for oneness so you can be as we are in the world. Those who divide and separate on the basis of anything are in opposition to our heart, and we cannot tolerate this darkness calling itself light. The scandal of Christian Zionism is going to be exposed for what it is, a do-it-yourself tree-inspired travesty. Now, I'm just saying what God said to me, and I know that is very offensive to some people, and in no way do I want to be offensive or to offend anybody. And I want all the children of the earth, whether they're Jewish, Muslim, Palestinian, British, and any other version of religion, to come to a knowledge of the truth that only comes through following the one Son of God, the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus. There's no other way to come to God. You cannot come to God through being a Hindu, being a Muslim, being a Jew, or any other religion. And you can't come to God from being a Christian if you're only following it as a religion. This is about relationship, where we enter in through Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, the door, and enter into a relationship with the Father. So let's be careful to ensure that we don't treat people differently on the basis of anything, but we love all people based on the fact that they're all God's children, regardless of what they're doing right now. We love all our children equally and without prejudice, and all are reconciled and included in us, and all will be restored. Son, be prepared for war, but maintain peace in your own heart. Now, I'm aware that even sharing some of these things can create a situation that creates conflict and tension, and it's not my desire, but I have to share what God shared with me. There is, and only always has been, only ever will be, only one people of God. That is, of those who come to the knowledge of the truth of who we are by personal experience. All our children, but not all yet, all are our children, but not all yet know this or act as sons. The whole world, from God's perspective, are his children. Everyone he's ever created are his children, and yet so many people don't realize this and don't act like it because they don't believe it. None are excluded by us. In fact, all are included by us, but they live in the separation, which is the illusion of their own minds. They are already included and one from our perspective, but sadly live as orphans looking for a family in all the wrong places, using all the wrong methods. Son, to understand covenant, you need to know me. I am that I am is a statement of the covenant that we have with each other. All the promises and commitments we have made are already fulfilled through the cross. As Father, Son, and Spirit, we are in relational union, and the sacrifice that was made before the foundation of the created order was the covenant transaction of commitment to each other and with our children, who already existed within us. Our commitment is reflected in our love, and our love is reflected in our commitment. The new covenant, as you know it, is not new, but the expression of what has always been true in the eternal now, but is now revealed in Jesus as both the Son of Man and Son of God. This commitment in love is our nature. We are relationally covenant expressed in perfection. The new covenant is not made with you and was not made at the cross. It was only revealed at the cross. That is what all the types and shadows of the old covenant pointed towards. This covenant is truly eternal as it is who we are. I am that I am is covenant, and all our children are included in us. The desire to worship that is within all is the desire to return to who you were within I am. What you call the old covenant was man's attempt to return, but was inspired by the do-it-yourself knowledge path that Adam followed, and it could never succeed as it was fear and not love-based. Unconditional love is the true essence of the covenant that we are and that you are included in. What you call the old covenant was never an everlasting covenant. That is why it has faded away and is now obsolete. The old covenant and the promise of the land to Israel were both fulfilled fully in the new covenant. Olam is the Hebrew word often translated forever, everlasting, or eternal in English. This has been wrongly applied to the covenant of the land of Israel and any other of the Old Testament covenants with Moses, Noah, David, etc. Genesis 9:16. When the bow is in the cloud, then I will look upon it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. The word everlasting does not mean everlasting. It's enduring to the age. There is a definedness to it, not everlasting and not forever. But when we read everlasting in English, immediately we think, forever, this will never stop. But in reality, it has been fulfilled. It's not stopped per se, but it's been fulfilled and therefore completed. Therefore, we're living in the reality of this in the new covenant. But that old covenant with Noah is no longer in effect, other than it's in within the new covenant. It's not everlasting in its own right. Genesis 17:7. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. Now this, again, what does this mean? It's describing this as an everlasting covenant. It isn't an everlasting covenant. It's a covenant to specifically outwork and be fulfilled in the new covenant through Jesus, spiritually fulfilled in Jesus. Leviticus 24:8. Every Sabbath day he shall set it in order before the Lord continually. It is an everlasting covenant for the sons of Israel. Now the reality is, it isn't an everlasting covenant, and it is no longer applied to the sons of Israel in the way in which it was meant. That was a law-based old covenant institution which has faded away and no longer exists because it's obsolete. Yet it's described as everlasting. 1 Chronicles 16:17. He also confirmed it to Jacob as for a statute to Israel as an everlasting covenant. It isn't everlasting because the word Olam does not mean everlasting. It's not forever. It's not everlasting. What does it mean? Leviticus 24:8. On each Sabbath, and this is the Young's literal translation, not translating it through any biased understanding of the word Olam, but literally translating it in what Olam actually means. Each Sabbath day he arranged it before Jehovah continually for from the sons of Israel a covenant age enduring. Not everlasting, not forever, but age enduring. What age? The old covenant age. And the old covenant age has come to an end, so it no longer applies. So it isn't everlasting. It was always intended to be until the fulfillment in the new covenant. Olam meaning long duration, antiquity, futurity. Olam means an indefinite period of time. It is a time word, not an absence of time word. Jonah was in the fish forever, Olam. Jonah 2:6. Well, of course he wasn't in the fish forever, was he? But Olam is the word used. And it's translated wrongly if it says forever, obviously. A slave serve his master forever. Olam, Exodus 21:6. Of course a master doesn't serve forever. He doesn't serve after he dies. He doesn't serve after the master dies. Solomon's temple is built to last forever. Olam, 1 Kings 8:13. The temple is no longer standing. So it wasn't forever. Sodom's fiery judgment is eternal. Olam, Ezekiel 16:53-55, Judges 1:7. No, it isn't. It ended. The Mosaic covenant is everlasting. Leviticus 24:38. No. Olam, it's ended. It's obsolete and has ended. But all these words is the use of Olam. Which forever is correct? Forever, 3 days and three nights for Jonah. Forever, approximately 70 years, the lifespan of a person. Forever, 400 years for Solomon's temple. None are correct as forever. Don't just accept what you've been told or what you understand and read in English. We need the discernment of the Spirit and the Spirit of truth. The Hebrew word Olam and the Greek equivalent Ion are words that do not have a set value. It is relative term and depends upon that which is associated. An Ion or an Eon can be 3 days, three nights, 70 years, 400 years, 1,000 years or more. It isn't forever or eternal or everlasting. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures, which was recorded in 285 BC, and there were 70 Hebrew scholars who had access to scriptures and writings that we don't have today, and they chose to use the word eon or aeon in place of the Hebrew olam. This also does not mean forever or everlasting. The Aaronic priesthood is everlasting. Obviously, it isn't. It isn't Olam as everlasting. It ended with the end of the Old Covenant. Circumcision was an everlasting covenant. Well, no, it isn't. Israel's judgment lasts forever. Well, of course it didn't. It ended in AD 70. Animal sacrifices are to be offered forever. Well, Hebrews very clearly says that now Jesus has been sacrificed, there is no need for animal sacrifices. They all use Olam and therefore been translated into Aeon or Aeon in Greek. If Aeon really means eternity instead of age, then which of the following scriptures makes any sense? And here is where Aeon has been described as eternity. Well, it isn't. What will be the sign of the end of eternity? Matthew 24:3. Well, of course it doesn't mean eternity or the end of the world either. It means the end of the age, and of course the end of the old covenant age. I am with you to the end of eternity. Well, you can't have an end to eternity. Aeon cannot be used for eternity. Matthew 28:20. The sons of this eternity marry. Well, of course there is no this or eternity. Since eternity began, well, you can't have eternity beginning. Aeon is a distinct period which has a beginning and an end. Be not conformed to this eternity. Well, of course you can't be conformed to this eternity because it didn't mean eternity, it means age. Where is the disputer of this eternity? Deliver us from this present evil eternity. Not only in this eternity, but also in the one to come. They're talking about ages, eons, ages, olam, ages, defined ages with a beginning and an end, not a beginning and no end, and not an end with no beginning. In the eternities to come, well, obviously in the ages to come, love this present eternity, love this present age. At the end of the eternities, no age, ages. None of these translations of Aeon mean eternal. How can you have a before eternity, present eternity, eternity to come, the end of eternity, this eternity, that eternity, many eternities, when eternity transcends time? These are translated through conformational bias. They don't mean that. And when you read that as eternal, forever, everlasting, don't accept it as that. Look at what it was referring to in reality. Some concede that the noun aeon has to do with time and means and age, but they want to say that the adjective aeneos means eternal or timeless. Well, the adjective comes from the noun and describes the noun. It can't mean something different. It's foolishness. The adjective derives its meaning from the noun. Day cannot become yearly. It's only daily. So daily is to the noun day. Year has yearly. The noun year can have yearly. You can't mix them. So you can't mix noun and adjective. A daily, day, daily. Daily paper comes out once every day. A weekly paper comes out once every week. Monthly, once every month. Yearly, once every year. Aeon, aeneos. An aeneos paper comes out every aeon or age. So the covenant made with Noah, Abraham, Moses, David was until Jesus came to fulfill those covenants in the new covenant. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for as many are the promises of God, in him they are yes. Therefore also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. We are recipients of the promises of God in the new covenant. All the covenants of God are fulfilled in the new covenant, because a covenant was a promise that God made, which is now fulfilled spiritually in this new covenant age. You don't need a physical manifestation in the new covenant. It's spiritually fulfilled in Christ. Man's covenants are always conditional on the faithfulness to the stipulations, but we're totally faithful by nature, not obedience. Now, this is what God was saying. The need to obey external stipulations is a man-made concept. We, on the other hand, are I am and don't need to do anything we are. The oracles of our heart are the expression of who we are as love. We love because we are love. Covenant love, hesed, loving kindness, is who we are. To know us is to know you are included in us by our love for you, not your love for us. It's unconditional love. This new covenant is unconditional love seen in the perichoresis express, the circle of the dance between Father, Son, and Spirit that we're invited in to experience. Awesome. So learn to be at rest, and the reality of this new covenant can be fully experienced. I know this is challenging. But do not let the old limit you from experiencing the new. Take it back to God. If it challenges your whole views of the rapture, the millennium, eschatology, Israel as the earthly people, all of that came from the same fruit of the poison tree. Literally, when they produce rapture, dispensational, millennial understanding, it was to explain away why spiritual gifts wasn't for today. And now that has been developed into a system that even charismatics who are believing spiritual gifts and engage spiritual gifts still function in, not realizing that the rapture, the millennium, and all of that teaching, and including Israel being an earthly people and a division between the people of God into earthly and heavenly. Yes, there are those who are enrolled in heaven, but they're still one with us on earth. And it's nothing to do with a national of ethnicity, of being an Israelite. It's to do with being a child of God, experiencing that by faith in Christ and realizing the righteousness of God that we are in him. It's not by nationalism or any other religion or any other thing but relationship. It is a challenge to the evangelical mindset. It was a challenge to my mindset for sure, but God took me through that process of deconstructing my mindsets and my belief systems to realize that most of what I'd built my understanding of was coming from someone else rather than directly from God himself. And I would encourage you to ask that question of yourself. How much of what I know about God, about the church, about Christianity, about all of those things, about the Bible, has come by direct revelation from the Spirit of truth through the living Word of God, Jesus, but in the relationship with the Father? And how much has come through listening to other people and sermons and messages, or from what your church stream believed? If you were brought up Southern Baptist, it would have been very difficult for you to embrace baptism of the Spirit, but a lot of people have embraced that and now realize that their Southern Baptist upbringing actually taught them wrong things. Now, all denominational streams will teach you wrong things because they come from a perspective of man's understanding of theology and doctrine rather than personal revelation from God. And even that which started in personal revelation easily becomes twisted to form a denominational doctrinal divide and separation. Son, the shift for 2020 is both personal and for the Engaging God program. Create group leaders willing to deputize and mentor others for the new Engaging God mentoring groups. Now, I do what God asks me to do, and he talks to me in this level of detail. He wanted me to set up new groups, beginners groups, advanced groups, and have people who could substitute for me when I'm not there. That is discipleship. That is developing others, and that's what I want to do. I want to do away with the need for me, so that you can engage God for yourselves and other people can help you as well as I can. Add continuing members to existing legislation groups as advanced groups. Release the ambassadors groups to operate without your involvement and seek for new groups with some specific mandates. So I no longer need to be involved in the ambassador groups that I set up at the beginning of the year because they can all function very well without me. I helped in their establishment, helped in support, and now they no longer need me. I am looking for establishing other groups with specific mandates in the future, but I don't want anything to be dependent on me. I want everyone to hear God for themselves and have an intimate, personal, face-to-face relationship, which is not mediatorial and does not need to come through me or the Engaging God program as a mediator. We need to engage God directly. Son, I will open new relationships, cement existing relationships, so you will need to travel more next year. And I'm already having several things booked up for next year, which are things that God is calling me to do. Therefore, I am going to be obedient to that. There are areas that need to be opened up and strategic relationships that need to be developed. And I'm looking for those relationships to be established so I can connect with people relationally. I'm not interested in coming and doing conferences in places with people that I have no investment in. I want to engage in relationship. I want to engage relationally with people, and I want there to be an ongoing relationship if people want that. I don't want to hit and run and go and do things and then have no relationship with people. Relationship to me is the key to the kingdom. Son, love is still the key in all things, and radiating love's light is the true mandate of sonship, so keep it as the priority. Set the priorities for next year for FAM, Freedom Apostolic Ministries. Restoration of All Two Things Conference, which we're having in June as a residential. Other Restoration of All Things conferences in other nations. I'm doing another one in March in Colorado Springs. A series of mini books that we're producing to help people who like reading rather than just engaging and listening. We're doing those things as our priorities this year. Son, the winds of change are blowing for you individually and for the season to change from justice to grace. Remember, heaven functions on four seasons: judgment, justice, grace, mercy, and then rest. So you could say five seasons, I guess. So we're going to move from justice to grace. Now, Alex, talk about this more in the sessions that are coming, because God started to speak to me a lot about this. The old order have been resisting the change, but now those within the new order are also resisting the progression towards the restoration of all things through greater grace. I can understand that the evangelical community and that which is institutional, some of them would struggle with the concept of restoration of all things because of their evangelical nature. I know that the Orthodox churches, Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox, are much more open to restoration and see restoration as the process that they're involved in. They don't have a problem with it. But those within the new order, those within whatever you call this, mystic movement or whatever, a number of those people are now resisting what God is wanting to unveil as the restoration of all things and are separating and dividing doctrinally over this issue and I believe are in danger of creating denominations which exclude people on the basis of belief, rather than include people on the basis of relationship, that we're all one in Christ. Our desire is for the new season of grace to blow throughout the earth, but those who should be facilitating the opening of the East Gate are hindering its opening. Once again, the old is resisting the new, but this has accelerated as those who have been called to be gatekeepers are holding back the winds. Son, legislate for the opening of the East Gate so that the new season of grace will accelerate restoration as the four winds blow throughout the earth. The resonance of sonship will send ripples throughout the dimensions, bringing hope for restoration. Son, honor the old, but do not allow them to stop the change of season. Now, I even heard of someone doing a court case and calling Lucifer, Satan, whatever you want to call them, to come. And their response was that we have heard the sons of God saying that we can be restored. And this person shut that down and affirmed this wrong thinking that they can't be restored. Now, I had to do a court case to undo that and to let this message that all can be restored be released, because we want to see all things restored, as God's desire and God's heart is to see all things restored. You must legislate to the 70 using the precedent of the case against the Moses order to bring judgment to those now establishing the same mediatorial systems that they judge without love. So much when you judge, it comes upon you. And those who judge the mediatorial systems and the apostolic networks and all of that stuff back in 2011, 2012, are now developing their own systems, which are the same mediatorial coverings that they judge, because that judgment has come upon them. Legislate with love to remove their resistance to restoration from within their hearts. If they continue to resist, they will end up going back to the wilderness and will die there, like all who have gone before. That is not my heart's desire. I want people to embrace the fullness of their inheritance and the fullness of what that means, not resisting it. As an ambassador for the Joshua generation, legislate for a change of heart so justice can give way to grace. Call for grace within justice so the forerunners of the new will become the foundation of the new beginnings to establish heaven on earth. We need heaven on earth. We're not going to do that if we provide mediatorial systems of covering. The harvest will not be released into the wilderness structures of mediation that are currently being established as hubs, because they are nothing more than apostolic networks rebranded. This is what God said to me. The four winds will blow from the East Gate to bring the greater grace of restoration. Those who are opposing restoration will either come into agreement or be removed from their positions by the force of the winds of change. It is time for mercy to be legislated in 2019 before a new season of judgment comes in 2020 as the wheels within the wheels turn from justice to grace. Now, remember that although there are four seasons, you can legislate for a different season within the present season. So we're in a season of, say, justice. We can still legislate for judgment and mercy and grace to be within that justice season as a wheel within that wheel. But ultimately, the bigger wheel picture will come that we're moving from justice to grace. And then we will be able to legislate for mercy within grace, or judgment within grace and justice within grace, as required to facilitate establishing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. We have legislative authority as sons to begin to move the times and the seasons within the times and seasons and not be subject to them. I am not going to be subject to the circle of the deep and the external wheel of that, the Maseroth. I am not going to be subject to the Maseroth and waiting for the next 2,000 years for a new age to come. We can legislate as sons to, they're there to help us in government. They're not there that we would be subject to the times and the seasons, but we would be understanding and therefore legislate for the times and the seasons to come. I came to the Council of 70 as an ambassador for the Joshua generation in this season of mercy to call for the hearts and minds of those resisting the restoration of all things to be changed, softened by love bombs and lightning bolts from the throne of God. This is not about wanting bad things to happen to people. This is about wanting good things to happen to people. This is that people would come to a full knowledge of the love of God and experience entering into that and then treat everyone in the same way. I call for the truth of love's restoring power to penetrate the hardest hearts and minds to remove the veils of darkness, stopping love's light from shining. Now, I'm going to release this now. I'm going to release it, and I encourage you to embrace it. And if you are struggling in any way with hard hearts towards the restoration of all things, or any of the other things that the four streams flowing together in terms of restoration, or in terms of universal acceptance, in terms of energy healing and frequency, in terms of eschatology, you know, of a realized eschatology, a happy eschatology, then allow these truths to impact you. Allow these calls to begin to work. I call for the truth of love's restoring power to penetrate the hardest hearts and minds and to remove the veils of darkness, stopping love's light shining. Let that frequency penetrate hard hearts. I call for the precedent set in 2014, the case against the Moses generation, to be reenacted and judgment to life be released. Judgment to life be released. I call for restoration to spread within opposition groups like wildfire as love bombs explode. The exploding of love bombs revealing God's heart for restoration. I release love bombs, love's blessing upon individuals who are in opposition. I'm not going to name names, but I'm going to release that. The intent of my heart is to touch individuals with love, with a deeper revelation of love, that love's light can reveal restoration to a new level. I call upon love's light to shine into the hearts and minds darkened to bring light. I call the Council of 70 to release revelation of the precepts of restoration within the Father's heart for the winds of change to blow. I call for no rest until the change from justice to grace has been blown into the four corners of creation. I call for the light to shine, the love to be released, love, joy, and peace. I call for unity. I call for the end of division, enmity, strife, and separation. I call for forgiveness. I choose to forgive and release those who slander and libel. I choose to forgive and release and bless those who are in opposition, or those who are criticizing, or those who are opposing restoration. I choose to forgive and release them and bless them. I choose to release the love of God into the hearts of those who would see themselves as my enemies. When I call them friends, I call them brothers, I call them as those that were all included in Christ, that we are one in Him. We are in Him, He's in us. We are brothers. I call for one heart, one mind, one purpose. I call for restoration. I call for the restoration of these relationships. I call for the end of divisions. I call for the end of divisions that have separated on the basis of doctrine and theology. And I call this mystic movement to come together in one heart, one mind, and one purpose. To even in differences of opinion, to be operating relationally and in love. I call for love's light to shine. I call for love's light to shine. Now, God spoke to me a lot about the East Gate, opening the Eastern Gate, the winds of change blowing. And I was engaging with one of the ambassadors groups, and one of those ambassadors groups, someone shared what they had received from God in the light of this. This was received independently from an ambassador the winds of change. And this is what she wrote, the winds of change. As I prayed about this, I started to search the matter out over the week. As I did, God started to reveal what all these things meant. To my understanding, the Lord is going to release the four winds upon the earth to the sons of God, the four corners of the earth. The breath of his spirit, the east wind of God, is about to cut loose. The winds of change, a new cycle of the four winds of God, or the four breaths of God. I stand in the authority as the Son of God. By faith, I step into the veil through the way of the cross, for you are the door and the gate, the only way, Christ Jesus. I present myself to you, my Lord, and surrender myself to you as a living sacrifice. I receive your acceptance and love, mercy and grace, for you have clothed me in robes of righteousness. Now, this is good declarations that are being made here. I take my place in Christ Jesus, seated with him in heavenly places at his right hand. I step into the realm of your governmental authority. I add, and the word of the Lord said, Ezekiel 37:4, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause my breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I call forth the identity of the sons of God to be established throughout the world. I call forth their spirit life to be awakened. I call forth a new wineskin. I call forth the four winds of God, the four breaths of God, to bring forth God's total resurrection power and the breath of God upon the sons of God. I call forth the mighty power of God on earth as it is in heaven. I call forth the voice of God and his frequency to resonate on the sons of God to establish and bring to pass their spiritual life's calling. I call forth the identity of the Son of God to be established throughout the world. I call forth for their spiritual life to be awakened. I call forth a new wineskin. I call forth the four winds of God, the four breaths of God, to bring forth God's total resurrection power and the breath of God on the sons of God. Now, that's a declaration that's what you do when you become an ambassador. You begin to make declarations and decrees based on who you are and where you're seated and the authority you have to release that into the earth. The winds of change, the east winds are going to blow. Justice is going to move into grace. Son, this is God then speaking to me. Son, a heart attitude of love towards all who are negative towards you and the restoration of all things is absolutely vital during this time of transition between justice and grace. The atmosphere will be charged and many things will be said that are hurtful, but keep your heart right and allow me to deal with the situations. Keep reaching out in love with the hand of peace and reconciliation and do not respond in retaliation. Trust me and the truth will come into the light. Love's light will prevail over and expose the darkness in the hearts of men those presently influenced by knowledge and charisma will see that character is the hallmark of sonship, not giftedness. Be careful you don't believe everyone anyone says because they're very gifted or have amazing revelation knowledge. Look at the fruit of character. Therefore, look at, are they operating in love, joy, peace, forgiveness? As the seasons change, so will maturity until love is all in all. Then creation will become truly free from its groaning and be restored into the light of true sonship. India will need wisdom to find the balance between challenge and offense. Now, I went to India in November. God started to speak to me ahead of time to begin that I would seek for wisdom because I don't want to challenge people and cause offense. I want to challenge people and cause change. But I know sometimes God offends the mind to reveal the heart. So I know it's not easy. And when you start talking about things in regards to restoration and all of these topics, it begins to provoke the religious spirit. And that creates often conflict. I am not going to fight with people. People can believe whatever they want to believe, but I'm going to share what God has given me and what I've encountered. Let me deal with accusations and keep love's light shining brightly as you open a continent to heavenly revelation. Son, point out the dangers, but be honoring to those who have gone before by keeping your heart right. I honor those who helped me come to this point, but I'm not going to be restricted and held back by them if they are not going to let me go forward into where God is taking me. Do not let people restrict you and hold you back from your destiny of going further than they are. If they're not empowering you to go further, do not function with that. Son, be yourself and share always from the experiences you have, which have placed love in your heart. And this is so important. My encounters with love is what brought me to this point of restoration and love. The institutional church and the world needs love. Every child of God needs love, so focus on love's light shining. This is what we really should be focusing on, not falling out and squabbling over whether we agree over every doctrine and theology, but seeing there's a bigger picture, to see God's kingdom filling the earth, see the glory of God covering the earth, to seeing people one at a time brought to a realization of the light that's in them and their inclusion in Christ. Son, arising and shining love's light will be key in the season of grace that's coming. I saw the east gate being opened and the winds of change, order of angels, releasing the four winds of heaven. Now, this was a visionary encounter. There were four rivers, each with waters backed up from those resisting the flow of loving kindness, hesed, covenant love. Now, I was in an encounter with a couple of others, friends, when I experienced this, and they also had their own personal experiences that we were engaging heaven together and over. I saw the gate being opened and the wind blowing with increased force, causing the rivers to flow into the four corners of the earth, the cosmos. Each river brought greater grace and manifold grace to the world. The first river flowed out with grace empowering love's light to reach those who have left church, those who with shipwrecked faith, those disillusioned by religion, those deceived by lesser gospels. There are so many people who are there, still believe in God, and yet have not yet fully experienced this, and they're needing grace. And this river is going to flow, touching their lives. The next river was flowing with grace upon grace to empower the sons of God still within the old covenant system to come to the light of truth and come out of the wilderness and cross over into their inheritance beyond the veil. The next river was flowing with manifold grace to those sons operating in the soul realm of the heavenlies to mature in sonship governmentally and be seated in to govern the house and have charge of the courts. The fourth river, with grace upon grace, flowed out to the world to engage those whose minds have been darkened by religion so that they cannot see the reality of who God truly is as a loving Father. The four winds blow the four rivers to reach the leavers, remainers, beyonders, and never-seeners. The season of grace is coming out of justice, so mercy will fully triumph over judgment. The harvest of harvesters will be the result of greater grace and grace upon grace. Son, the scales of darkness and deception can be overcome and removed from all things, and my desire is that all things be restored. Love has conquered and overcome all obstacles to restoration through the fullest expression of our love within eternity, converging with time at the cross. The resurrection has defeated death and its power through sin in all its forms as the Lamb that was slain has taken away the sin of creation. The power of spiritual death and separation has been broken and reconciliation is universal. The increase in the knowledge of the restoration of all things amongst sons who have experienced the reality of love will accelerate restoration dimensionally. And I believe as we embrace restoration ourselves, as we embrace being restored to sonship, being restored back to God's original intention for our lives, discovering our identity, discovering our spiritual memory and consciousness, and we begin to engage face to face in relationship with God, with his love, in power, we will begin to resonate a frequency which will begin to touch the earth, touch the creation, touch the other dimensions, engage with fallen angels and other dimensional beings, and facilitate their restoration, because we carry the love of God. And we're empowered by God's grace. We will have the anointing and authority to begin to see restoration begin to accelerate right throughout the dimensions. So our sonship can be realized, that heaven and earth can come back into alignment, that everything that separated and divided and partitioned at strife and enmity will be restored back to peace, oneness and wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. Will you accept this call on your life to be an ambassador of reconciliation, ambassador of restoration, and take that message of God's love and inclusion to a world desperate for it, not limited to people only, but to all that God has created, so creation can be set free from its bondage to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God, your glory demonstrated by shining love's light. Again, I encourage you, live loved. Love living, live loving, rest. Rest in him. Rest in the new covenant, grace, lavish, overflowing, abundant, not just hyper grace, but ultra grace. Grace upon grace, manifold grace, greater grace. Grace, God's divine enabling power at working us to enable us to fulfill our destiny and to see the restoration of all things as God originally intended. I call you to respond and surrender and embrace your destiny as a son of the living God. Live loved, love living, live loving from rest.